Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
As we continue to deal with the coronavirus pandemic, things opening, sometimes shutting down again, there are so many questions. And one of the people who is an expert on the issue is Dr. Richard Besser. At one time, he was the acting head of the CDC. He's now the chief executive officer for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation at rwjf.org, which right on their first page of their website, coping with COVID-19. And Dr. Besser, you said recently that things are worse now than they were early on. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I meant was early on, there was a national sense that we were all in this together, that we all needed to take steps to not just protect our own health and the health of our families and communities, but that what we did as individuals had an impact on the health of those around us. And what I'm seeing now is really a divided country where some people are following the lead of public health, which is saying, take these measures, wear masks, keep away from other people, stay home if you're sick, and wash your hands. And others are following some of the political leads, which are saying, let's get back to work and our social lives. And without a sense of national unity, that we're all in this together, then we're in trouble, because the things that we do will make a big difference in terms of how many people get affected, whether people going back to work get sick, and how many people, frankly, die from this disease.
The president doesn't wear a mask. The vice president does and he doesn't. The governor of Texas does and doesn't wear a mask. Mixed messages from leaders. What does that mean as we try to cope with COVID-19?
It is one of the biggest challenges we face. I ran emergency preparedness and response at CDC for 4 years, and we would do our best in every response to ensure that what we were doing was not politicized. And one of the ways that's done is by ensuring that public health leaders are the ones delivering the public health messages, and that political leaders are supporting the public health leaders in that. And here we see a disconnect where some states, red states and blue states, are on board and are doing those things and are looking at data. They're trying to ensure that everyone in their state is protected and safe. And other places where public health is being made the enemy of the economy getting back and working. And you know, from my perspective, you know, public health is the roadmap to a sustainable reopening of the economy. Not an impediment.
A lot of people wonder if this is the first wave, the second wave. Where are we in this?
I think that it's very hard to define this concept of waves until time has passed and you look back over history and say, oh, it looks like here there was a period where disease was spreading through populations for the first time, and then it took a break, and then it came back. What we're seeing right now is really the entry of the coronavirus into many communities on a big scale for the first time. And what you see when that happens is that the actions that are taken may reduce the spread, and so you see a decline in cases. And then as those actions are loosened, then you see cases coming back up. But many parts of the country, in the South, in Texas, are really seeing this for the first time in a big way. So I would consider that the first wave. And it's not clear whether there will be a break. It may continue this way without a lot of seasonality. Some respiratory viruses have a big drop in the summer, But we may not see that here. We may see it go down a little bit, but what we do can overwhelm the small changes we'll see in terms of viruses liking hot weather versus cold weather.
Now, Texas is huge. I've had people say, well, how do you mandate something when you have small counties population-wise and the hot spots are mostly in urban areas? But if people travel back and forth with or without a mask, how do you mandate things?
Yeah. I think that something like wearing a mask is something, it's a behavior we'd like to see everyone across America adopting. And the idea is that by wearing a mask, if you happen to have a coronavirus infection and you don't yet have symptoms, the mask can help reduce the chances you're going to give this infection to somebody else. So when I wear a mask, what I'm saying is I care about you and I care about your health. And when you wear a mask, you're saying you care about my health. And, you know, it's not wearing a mask everywhere. If you're out in the park and there's no one around you, you don't need a mask. If you're going for a run, you don't need a mask. But if you're going into a store, if you're going around people, if you can't keep 6 feet apart, then wearing a mask is a good thing to do. And it's not a large thing to ask people to do if it in some way can reduce the impact of this pandemic on those around us.
What is it about COVID-19 as opposed to the flu or even SARS?
That's a great question, and we're still learning a lot about this virus, and there's so much more to learn. In terms of SARS, SARS is a coronavirus as well, but SARS didn't spread as easily person to person, and it didn't seem to spread until people had symptoms. One of the challenges here is that this virus appears to be able to spread pretty well a couple of days before someone has symptoms, and as well to spread from people who have no symptoms whatsoever. So that makes it really, really challenging. In terms of the flu, because we see the flu every year, some people in the population will have antibodies or protective factors that will reduce to some level the chances that they're going to get the flu. And we have a flu pandemic when the strain that comes through is so new that people in the population don't have protection. For this coronavirus, for COVID-19, it's new to the population. It jumped species. It jumped from animals to humans. And so it's coming through, and there's no population protection or none that we're really aware of yet. And so elderly people, people with certain underlying medical conditions, are at increased risk and great risk of having severe disease and, unfortunately, many succumbing to it. So the measures we take are to try and protect those who are at the highest risk. And thankfully, you know, young people, most people who get this infection will do fine with it. But if we don't have this collective action and this national unity, which I believe we can have, if we don't have that, then unfortunately, people will succumb to this whose lives could have been saved.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.